Hey everyone, this is Ben Nicholson-Smith with Sportsnet. You're listening to The Walk-Off with Scott and Adam.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's The Walk-Off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan.
And another one.
So thrilled to be joined by today's guest, insider for the Toronto Blue Jays and Sportsnet analyst, Ben Nicholson-Smith. Welcome to The Walk-Off, man. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Scott. Hey, Adam. Happy to be joining you guys and talking some baseball.
Yeah, man. We're excited to have you on the podcast and talk some Blue Jays, which, by the way, absolutely love yours and Artem Zwelling's podcast at The Letters. Great Blue Jays content. So well done and thank you.
Thanks. Yeah. No, it's always... It's good. It's funny, like we haven't recorded in the last couple of weeks just because it was the All-Star break and I was off the week before that. So feels like a while since I've actually done that podcast to talk about with the Jays in the last few weeks. That's for sure.
Well, not to hound you, but I noticed. But no, it's great to have you on here. I know you're tight on time, so we'll get right into it here. And there was so much optimism coming out of the All-Star break. I mean, they sweep the Texas Rangers. Jays fans feeling especially optimistic and good with the news that they're coming home to Rogers Centre in Toronto. And then last night happens, which, you know, the baseball gods will do that to you. But despite it, it kind of feels like this team is on track for a good second half. Are you feeling that way? And where are you at on this, where this team is at?
Yeah, 100%. I would agree with that. I think when you look at this team, like so much of this season has been spent wondering what it would look like at full strength, right? Like if they can get Springer back, or if only they can get some of these relievers back. And now we're actually at that point where they've got a very healthy team, a very good team. They're winning a lot more than they're losing lately. They just seem to be in a good spot. And I know, you know, it's almost like a little counterintuitive because you look at the standings and, you know, they're still not where they would want to be. But I do think that they're in a position to go on a pretty good run here and really make things interesting in the next couple of months.
Yeah, I mean, the team's only 3.5 games back of that second wild card spot. And it feels like they've kind of guaranteed that this front office has to be buyers at the deadline, right? The selling side of things is kind of out the window there. That said, do you get the feeling that a blockbuster could happen? And in your opinion, what is the most likely trade thing style we see?
Man, I do think they're buyers. Agree with that. I think, you know, blockbuster, I'm not sure like what reaches that level, you know, like I don't think Scherzer's going anywhere. That probably would be like the blockbuster.
Yeah.
And I think he's probably staying in Washington. So then, you know, you look at some of the other big names. I think the Jays will be in on the big names, whether that's a Craig Kimbrell, Chris Bryant, whether that's, you know, Nelson Cruz, Joey Gallo, Kyle Gibson. I don't know if Kyle Gibson is like a big name, but I think they'll be in Richard Rodriguez, Adam Frazier. They have to check on those guys. They're the best players available this summer. And the Jays need upgrades. They have prospects. It kind of adds up. And it doesn't mean that they go out there and they win the bidding war on all those guys. I think we saw in the offseason, you know, the Jays are going to check. They are going to be seriously in on players. And in some cases, they're going to be the runner-up. We saw that, you know, all offseason. That was frustrating at times. That will probably happen again this July. But they're going to be in on those guys. And I think that the team will look different on July 31st than it does now.
It's funny how, as a fan, I'm always like, stop telling us when they're second place. Stop telling us when they were just about there. But yeah, no, it is an exciting time. Absolutely. And I know it's funny because over the last couple of weeks, lots has happened. The draft just took place, right? This Jays front office has had a pretty decent record with the draft over the last couple of years. And obviously first rounder Gunnar Hoglund, who is, I mean, everyone's excited about him because he's the first rounder. Tell us about your thoughts on Hoglund and maybe who else stood out to you in those first 10 rounds of picks of names that maybe Jays fans should be paying attention to.
Yeah. Hoglund, interesting, of course, because, you know, being injured right now, kind of a longer term play, but you know, that's kind of the nature of the draft to begin with. I mean, you're not usually going to the draft to address short-term needs. So, all right, like maybe he'll take a couple of years as he recovers from Tommy John, and we'll see where that leads. But he was someone who was trending probably toward a higher selection somewhere in the first round, higher in the first round if he hadn't gotten hurt. So really intriguing, lots of command there, three pitches the Blue Jays like. They like the athleticism. So that's an interesting package of skills. You know, we'll see where it leads. And I think to me, what stood out more than any individual player with the Jays approach was just the fact that they ended up taking so many pitchers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in talking to Shane Farrell, their amateur scouting director, he said it wasn't a deliberate choice that they, you know, went in there saying we have to get pitchers. But, you know, as you guys know, like, you obviously can never have enough. If you have a chance to get good ones, then nothing wrong with taking a lot of arms.
And then who else stood out to you? Was there, I know everyone's been talking about that Irv Carter, was it, right?
Yes.
High school kid, right? And he signed way over slot.
Right, from Christian Calvary and in Florida. So, you know, that's a school that's turned out a lot of players. I think one of his teammates went really high in the draft as well. So, and again, you know, an arm. So that's another one to kind of keep an eye on. You know, to be totally honest with you guys, like, I haven't dived deep on all 20 picks just yet. But like I said, lots of arms. And Hoagland, probably the one with the most upside, the guy who's probably the most polished out of those pitchers that they took.
So speaking of arms, Robbie Ray has been, I mean, let's face it, he's probably been the revelation of the league. Forget about just the Jays. Has Robbie Ray done enough in your mind to convince you he's for real and that maybe this team should be trying to sign him? And if they do try to sign him, what do you think that would look like?
I do think he's pretty much for real. What we're seeing now over an extended period of time is pretty impressive. And so, yes, I think the Jays should look to sign him, because if you look to 2022, if you look to 2023, this is a pitcher that would help the Blue Jays win games. So I think you want to sign him. The Lance Lynn deal is interesting, you know, close to $40 million over 2 years for a pitcher who's going to be 35 next year. Mm-hmm. That to me says, you know, if you're Robbie Ray, you like that deal, because
yeah,
you know, the AAV is pretty high. Robbie Ray is going to get more than 2 years this offseason, in my opinion. So, you know, if you're the Jays, I would offer him that Lance Lynn deal right now. No, you know, no questions asked.
Right.
If you're Robbie Ray, I turn down that deal today. So, you know, I think that if you're Robbie Ray, and this is speculation, but you probably want to see if you can get three. I mean, I think he's getting three, four. You want to see if you can get four, five. Why not ask for five?
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, that's
coming off a career year. Go for them all. Yeah.
If not now, when? So I think that's, you know, how things are looking right now. And if you're the Blue Jays, I don't know that you offer four or five. Like, you know, that's a lot. I don't know if you're giving Ryu money to a guy who until this year had some question marks, but somebody might. So that puts Robbie Ray in a great spot.
And I mean, he's been very durable, very healthy, other than, I mean, falling downstairs carrying his kid, right? So like, I guess what I'm asking is, it's probably pretty unlikely we see something in the range of, like, let's say Jay Happ when they signed him a few years back, right? 3 years, 36, that's way too low. We're looking far closer to what, 20 mil a year probably with him?
I think so. I think if you're the Jays and you could get him for the Happ money, you do that in a heartbeat. But again, I think Robbie Ray, if he has a good agent, would say no to that just because he's got a chance to, you know, to do better than that. It is super interesting, you know, and it's always that question of when do you cash in versus, you know, at this point in the season, usually if a guy gets to July, almost August, it's almost too late to get them to extend. You know, it's almost like they're so close to free agency. They kind of want to test it and see what's out there.
Especially after he took that 1 year, $8 million deal and kind of bet on himself. Like, if you're going to win that bet, why would you throw it away, right?
100% agree with that. So, you know, we'll see. It's going to be interesting because the Jays, again, like, the way Ray and Semien have played, it's amazing for these guys to be doing this well, but it also sets up, okay, they're gone after this year, you know? That's going to be a couple big losses.
And if we can keep this starting rotation away from any kind of stairs, I think that would be a good idea. Like,
no, what's going on with the Jays and stairs?
Unreal. So for tonight, I know Alek Manoah, it looks like he's only going to miss one start. Is it confirmed that it's Thomas Hatch they're going with for tonight?
It is, yeah. So Thomas Hatch pitching, making a big start for the Jays, right? You think about the Red Sox and the way this rotation lines up right now, it happens to be, you know, the team the Jays are chasing atop the American League East and a team with some really good bats. So not an easy assignment for Thomas Hatch, but
no.
I think that's life in the AL East, right? It's like, you know, Manoah making his debut at Yankee Stadium. You know, at a certain point, these guys have to face these really good offenses and they have to do well against them.
And he's looked good in AAA. I'm actually excited to see how Hatch performs here.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you look at the numbers, I think it's about 8 starts. He's got really good numbers there, solid, what you'd expect, what you need to see from a guy who has been in the majors before. You certainly want to see him go down to AAA and have success there. And I mean, they're going to need him. I'm not sure for how long, because they're hoping Manoah's absence is short, like you said.
Of course.
But then beyond that, it's like, it's pitching. So you have a good chance that something else is going to come up. And if Hatch pitches well, I think there will be opportunity for him.
Do you think that they look outside of the organization for more bullpen help other than, let's say, move Hatch into that type of role that he saw last year?
I do think so. I think you kind of have to be in on Kimbrel and Richard Rodriguez. You know, I don't know where they assess Ian Kennedy, but I think that, you know, absolutely, they have to check on those guys. And I mean, Kimbrel to me is the most interesting. He's the best one. He's, you know, and again, you don't know how long it's going to last, but right now, the way Kimbrel is pitching, he's just such a good reliever, someone who can get the best lineups in baseball out. And so, you know, I think as you try to not only get to the playoffs, but then potentially work your way through an Astros series or a White Sox series, you need someone who can come in a big leverage spot or close out a game. Someone like Kimbrel would be really good. I know Rodriguez is good too. Kennedy's good, but Kimbrel's like great. He's like, to me, in a tier above.
Yeah, he's the type of guy that shortens a game, right? And he also makes Romano so much more deadly. Like all of a sudden, yeah, exactly. Okay, so it's almost impossible to talk this Blue Jays team without bringing him up. And Vladdy is legit flirting with the Triple Crown. Like, as a fan, I'm literally beside myself. I'm like, I can't believe that I get to watch a guy that I cheer for on my team flirt with the Triple Crown. I never thought it would happen.
Yeah, it's incredible. It really is. Like, and I think, you know, Blue Jays fans have been lucky enough to watch some really great hitters over the years, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's Carlos Delgado or whether it's guys more recently like a Josh Donaldson, Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion. There are a lot of great hitters that have played in Toronto and put on the Blue Jays uniform. And right now, what Vlad's doing is just on a different level, which is crazy. Because
he's 22. Guys,
yeah, right. He's 22. You know, those guys were good. Like Donaldson won an MVP. Delgado probably was, you know, an underrated player in his day here for what he was doing. And it's like, Vladdy, 22. He's younger than guys that the Blue Jays were drafting. He's the sixth youngest player in the American League. It's absolutely incredible to see him doing this at this age. So it's a lot of fun because, you know, you see him doing it right now and you don't want to, you know, take your eyes off the present moment because the present moment is really incredible here. But also you kind of think this is a building block for years to come and someone that's really going to be a reason that this Jays team can stay competitive for a long time.
So obviously, when it comes to the MVP, everyone's leaning towards Ohtani. I mean, my goodness, even yesterday he pitches 6 innings and then they put him into right field. I mean, the guy has just never seen anything like it in baseball. But if Vladdy pulls off the Triple Crown, do you think we could see our first co-MVP in like over 40 years? Like, is that something they'd have to consider it, right?
Well, I think that would be awesome. Like, I really think both guys are deserving the way it's going right now. If Vladdy were to win the Triple Crown and then Ohtani ties for the home run lead and posts a 3 ERA in the rotation, you're like, how can you deny that?
Yeah.
Kills 20 bases. So, both of them, the way things are trending, deserve to have that consideration. I think, you know, it's so interesting because the way the MVP voting is calibrated, normally you end up with like 314 points to 278. So it's almost really hard to tie, you know, because the points are so specific.
Right.
But you never know. Like, it could happen. And so if there's ever a year where it would kind of be appropriate and feel like the right thing, I mean, this is the year because both guys are so deserving and just doing so much for the game of baseball right now.
Ben, we so appreciate your time and we don't wish to keep you longer than we can. Do you have time for one listener question here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so the listener question here, we've got a few of them, but I'll pare it down to one here. So your question is from Jamie in Vancouver. He says, hey, Ben, love you're doing the show. I watched the MLB Futures game over the All-Star break and fell even further in love with Austin Martin. Do you think that, what do you think the ceiling is for this kid, and when can we expect him in a Jays uni?
Great question. So thanks to Jamie for that one. Yeah, I think the ceiling is a number two or three hitter, you know, someone who can go out there and probably hit you 25 or 30 home runs, hit for a 300 average, have a 400 OBP with great plate discipline, bring you some defensive value. I mean, that's starting to sound like, you know, like an MVP candidate, right?
Yeah, right.
That sounds kind of like Alex Bregman, something like that, which is, I mean, that's incredible. Alex Bregman's an amazing, amazing player. I'm not saying he's going to reach the ceiling, but we're talking about, hey, what's the best case here? I think that's what Austin Martin brings. So, you know, you want to see that develop in the minors a little bit longer. Right now, obviously, just a double A, just 22 years old himself, getting used to that level. And I think within the next calendar year, he could be in the major leagues. I certainly don't think that's crazy. At this point, I'm not counting on it for 2021. Mm-hmm. Because he's still, you know, it's more like good, not great results at double A right now. But I think 2022, I mean, why not? At that point, he'd be 2 years out of being drafted as a college player. So, yeah, I think next year is pretty realistic for Austin Martin.
And it's been kind of interesting with Martin because he's been getting reps at center field and shortstop, which is, you know, where he originally was drafted as. Are they moving him to third? Like, everyone is so worried about third base. Is this something that they're just kind of like, let's see where he's comfortable?
I think it's worth just testing him at different spots and seeing how things work out. It's funny because, yeah, shortstop, center field, they're kind of spoken for with the Jays right now, but you never know, as we saw this year with Springer and his absence for, you know, a couple of months. Yeah. You never know when you're going to have one of those positions that opens up for a period of time, and then you want to have good internal options in place. So I think it makes sense to keep him really fresh at those positions, keep him kind of stretched out from a range standpoint at short, center, and then, yeah, mix in some third base. Espinal obviously doing a great job right
yes,
now.
He is.
So you kind of got him and Biggio holding it down. But as you look to the future, you know, the question of Austin Martin's position is interesting. But I think as long as he hits, then they'll find a place to play him.
Exactly. All right, Ben, thank you so very much for taking the time. Really appreciate it, my man. And hopefully when you're a little less busy, we can have you on again.
Absolutely, guys. Appreciate you inviting me on, making the time. Appreciate the questions, which were great as always. And always good to talk some Blue Jays.
Awesome. Right on, Ben. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh, with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.